extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to each of our listeners today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
A wise person seeks the advice of others before he or she makes an important decision that will affect their lives. When you are making these decisions, do you consult with God? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to discuss life in all of its conflicts with you. We realize that you are a very personal God, one not far away, but one who asks us to come, to seek you while you may be found. Grant, Heavenly Father, that we may be so related to you that we would not think of an important decision in our lives without first consulting you. Speak to us today through your word and what is said on the basis of that word, for we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, my furnace stopped one day, which demanded a call for a serviceman. You know, it's not very good to have the furnace out in Iowa during the month of December. He came and did his work very efficiently, and as he was leaving, he said, "Have a good Christmas." And I said, "The same to you." He replied, "I'm going to, because during the summer I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my life has been entirely different ever since. I have belonged to a church all of my life, but it never had too much meaning. I went whenever I felt like it. I think I probably could have passed some kind of an examination on who Jesus was, but today he lives in my heart. Each morning I spend about 15 minutes with God in my quiet time. What a way it is to start the day." Said, I don't want to give you the wrong impression. I have a long ways to go. I still find myself using some profanity. I can get very angry and be very inconsiderate when it comes to my wife. But I pray that he will help me over these hurdles. I said to him as he left, "You live with the Lord Jesus each day, and he's going to direct your life. At the end of the day, you'll see many of the mistakes, the sins that you committed, but he's always willing to pardon. That's the God of love. That's the Savior we have. Now, you may ask the question, on what basis can I make a statement like this? Was I just trying to play the old psychological game? Certainly not. Here is the basis, and it comes from the 55th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thought. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon him. That was the basis, as I assured my friend who came to fix my furnace, that the Lord loved him, that the Lord had forgiven him, and that the Lord would guide and direct him all the days of his life. In this passage of Scripture, which we're going to talk about today, it says that we are to seek the Lord. Now, if you have any understanding of the Bible at all, you well know that it is always God who begins the seeking. He seeks us first. You see, with my friend who had come to fix my furnace, God had first sought him. And unbeknown to him then, in a circumstance that he did not describe to me, there was within his heart a desire to reach out and to seek God. And that's what the prophet Isaiah is talking about today. You seek him. Where do you seek him? You seek him in his word, in the Bible. Open up the Bible. Begin to read it. Get acquainted with it. Go to church. Hear that word preached. Perhaps you'll even hear it preached on the radio or on television. My friend did tell me this much, that it was while he was listening to a radio program that the Lord really made that great impact in his life. He didn't tell me what happened after that, but it was just the Word of God happened to come to him at that particular time through the television or the radio. It's also important that you and I have fellowship with Christians. We seek them out. We ask them, how do you think God would lead and guide me under these directions? You call on him when he is near. That means that it is possible that there will be a time when God is not near. You heard me right. There are times when God perhaps is not just as near as he once was. You see, you can keep on saying no to God. You can reject his will for your life. And the scriptures say that the heart can be hardened. I've only seen a few cases of that, and I would never want to say that God had withdrawn from any person. That's not my decision to make. But the prophet is coming back here and saying, seek the Lord while he may be found, implying that there could well be a time when God is not going to be there. Hard to understand, hard to believe, hard for me to even hear those words echoing in my own heart, but in my own ears, but that is what the prophet is saying. Let the wicked forsake his way. Sure, that's what the technician was trying to tell me. I still have a lot of things that make me very unhappy with my life. Every day he can come to the Lord for forgiveness. Every day the Lord will direct him. Every day the Lord will move him on to a new chapter in his life. Now, what I'm going to do today, friend, I know you're going to like. You're going to enjoy the last part of this much better than you did the first part. I have in my recording studio with me today one of my seven grandchildren, one whom I love very much. I love them all equally. Tim is a very special place in my life. He's 20 years old. He's a sophomore at the University of Iowa. He has been blessed with many talents. He is a gifted pianist. He is also a very strong student in the College of Business at the University of Iowa. So I'm going to ask Tim if he will share this program with me today. We're going to dialogue together, because I'm sure that any young man at the age of 20 is trying to find out where God is directing him in life. That is, if that young man is in a personal relationship with God. So, Tim, now I'm going to ask you to tell the people who are listening to us today a little bit about yourself. Just let it go.
I'm a sophomore student at the University of Iowa, and as he said, trying to get some sort of grasp on which direction I want to go with my life in terms of choosing a career and other similar decisions that will affect the rest of my life. I've got a lot of different hobbies. I enjoy sports and music and spending time with friends and family. But I think the biggest, most important thing at this point in my life is trying to find out which direction I need to take.
Thank you, Tim. This is what we want to hear. Now we got another question for you. How do you make these decisions?
Obviously, there needs to be a sound basis for every decision you make. I know that basis needs to be God. I try to evaluate every decision I make based upon what will be most important when I'm lying on my deathbed. Obviously, the most important thing to anyone when he or she is on his or her deathbed is knowing where he will spend eternity. The Bible is very clear on eternity, that there's infinitely many ways to hell and only one path to heaven. Obviously, then that is the most important aspect of my life, is the fact that I have a saving faith in Christ. Aside from that, the Bible makes it clear that we're called not just to be saved from our sins, but also to make a positive influence on the world. I think that's the other thing that is important when you're lying on your deathbed, is being able to say that you made a positive impact on the world. Now, with those two things as the basis for every decision you make, you need a guide. You need a source of guidance and wisdom in your day-to-day life. And that's where a daily walk with Christ really comes in, where you not only know the truths about Christ and know what the Bible says about God and what God has done, but it's a daily personal walk where you spend time daily with God in reading His Word and in prayer and in worship, much like the person who fixed the furnace said. His life was different because he was beginning every morning with a time with God, and he was seeking wisdom and guidance from that.
Thank you, Tim. Now, you're listening to a young man who has just turned 20 years of age. He's at a university that has 25,000-plus students. Obviously, there are many in the university who would have no time for the Christian faith. That's just a part of life. Tim, you've implied this, and you've said it very forcefully, that you have to listen to what God is saying to you in the Word. When you came to Iowa City, a complete stranger, you sought out a church. Can you tell us just a little bit about the church you attend and what you hear there to help you in making these decisions?
The thing I like most about this church, and it's what I believe is the most important quality any church can have, is that it is a church with a high view of what the Bible says about God, who God is, and what God has done. That can't be compromised. That has to be the basis for, as I said, every decision we make. It has to be the basis for our lives and for how we view eternity. I think that is what I've really learned being at this church in Iowa City. The university population as a whole, professors and students, don't really have much time for what the Bible teaches about God. So it's easy to get lost down there into thinking that the Bible is not true, or that the Bible is irrelevant now because it was written so long ago, or any other excuse or explanation they may come up with. What this church has done for me, though, is be a stronghold in a very dark place. It's the one place in Iowa City where I can go and be told that there is truth, and that we can know truth for sure about God because it's written in the Bible, and the Bible is true. That's what I'm so thankful for about this church is it's held to the Bible and has drawn its wisdom from it.
Tim, I'm really interested in this church because I think it's very important for us to try to bring the message across to the radio listening audience, the importance of a church that proclaims the Word of God. Tim, let me ask you, in that church, is there a lot of entertaining done to get the students there? How many students would you estimate at all the services would be at that worship center on a Sunday morning? And are there people there who sort of impress you because they're celebrities in their own right, and there they sit with their Bibles? Could you tell us just a little bit about this?
As for whether or not there's a lot of entertaining done to try to get college students there, absolutely not. The sole objective that they have is to be a light in a dark place. And they believe that that is best done by proclaiming the Word of God every Sunday in a deep way that perhaps people haven't thought of it before. They're not trying to play any games with people. They're not trying to soften or water down the message to keep people there or keep people interested. They're just simply speaking the truth in love. There are probably, I would say, on an average Sunday morning, 400 college students there, 400 people who realize that the Bible is true and is our basis for life, and come and learn more about the Bible and to seek God's wisdom in all their areas of life. As for celebrities there, I see Steve Alford there, the Iowa basketball coach, every Sunday, engaged in listening to the sermon. Obviously, another person who's trying to seek what God wants from his life and seek who God is and what God has done for him. That's probably the thing I'm impressed most with about this church, is that they're not in the basis of trying to entertain people. They simply expound on the Word and teach truths that are completely relevant for today.
That's a very, very important testimony for some of us. You know, we're talking again to a 20-year-old person who's in church every Sunday, together with probably 400 other students from the university, and sitting right next to him could be some of the faculty of that great university. We certainly want to say that it is a great academic institution, and Tim certainly feels privileged that he has the opportunity to be there. Tim, why don't you tell the group that you're talking to this morning via the radio a little bit about your own relationship with the Lord Jesus?
My relationship with God is different than probably what you'll hear from many people. From many people, you can hear about some type of exciting conversion experience where their back was against the wall, didn't know where to turn, and found God in the midst of that. That really hasn't been my situation at all. I have been a Christian for as long as I can remember. That doesn't mean I was born a Christian. That just means that at a young age, God sought me out and found me, and I came to faith in him at a very young age. I can't really point to any times or specific experiences in my life where I've been growing much faster than at any other time. I've just found that my growth in my relationship with God has been very steady from a young age because I've had a lot of positive influences in my life. A strong Christian family, a church that was proclaiming the gospel and the Word of God every Sunday. As I got older, a strong youth program here in Cedar Falls. And as I've moved on to Iowa City, another strong church. Through it all, I've had strong Christian friends. I've had so many positive influences in my life that I've been able to continue to grow and grow and grow pretty steadily throughout the whole time I've been a Christian.
Thank you again. And now I'd like to ask you one more question. What effect does the church have on your whole life? And as you look out into the future, how do you see yourself as a witness for Jesus Christ in the days that are to come? I understand, Tim, as I've heard you answer many people who wanted to know, what are you going to do? You have said to them, well, I may go to law school. Tim's father is a lawyer here in our community and a strong member of the church and committed to Jesus Christ. You say, I may go to law school, or I may go on after I get my degree from Iowa to a school that could give me a good MBA, a Master of Business Administration. You are not quite sure yet. I know you don't have it nailed down, but tell me a little bit about what you see in the future as far as being a witness for Christ and his church.
A lot of people ask me the question now, do you plan to go into the ministry someday? I know what they're getting at with that question. What they mean is, do you plan to be a pastor in a church or work in some ministry as we know it? Really, though, I feel that anybody who's a Christian in any job, anywhere, is in the ministry. I don't think you have to be a pastor or work in a church to be in the ministry in a broad sense. From what I've been told about Martin Luther and some of the other reformers, that was one of their major points of emphasis, was that there's no difference between what we may view as a sacred vocation and a secular vocation. Anyone who's a Christian, who has a relationship with God, can serve God wherever he is. That could be in the courtroom, that could be in the business world, that could be preaching the gospel in a church. It can be any number of ways. I don't feel that I have to choose one particular career or vocation to be a minister for God. I believe that I will be in the ministry no matter where I go. That's sort of my guiding principle in the whole thing, is that no matter where I choose, I can serve God in it. I think you need a Christian lawyer or a Christian businessman who's making a positive influence on society for God that way, just as much as you need strong Christian pastors. I really believe that. I believe that you can be in the Christian ministry no matter where you go.
Tim, many times we older people give you some advice, people like you. If you were addressing the church today, both clergy and laity, what would you urge them to be faithful with? Where should their priorities be? What do you really find at the heart of the church?
It seems to me, without being too critical, that a lot of churches just have such a short-term focus. Let's make people happy and give them a pleasant or enjoyable or memorable or emotional experience right now so that they'll continue to come back and so that we can continue to have them in our church. It's such a short-term, superficial focus, though, to think that you can just water down what is true to make people happy. And the reason I say that short-term is you're not doing anybody any eternal good in that. They're not hearing in many churches that without Christ, there is no way to heaven, or that unless you're serving God, you're not doing anything of any eternal significance. Those are a couple truths that they're not hearing. They're not being preached or taught or proclaimed because people don't want to be offended. People don't want to offend other people. It's such a short-term focus, though. I think churches really need to stay focused on what is important eternally. What that means is teaching and preaching and proclaiming that people are saved only through faith in Christ, and people are living a life of purpose only if they're striving to serve God, no matter what direction they go.
Thank you very much, Tim, for these times together here, and may the Lord continue to bless you, and may you seek him out, and he will give you directions in all that takes place in your life. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the Father,
God, we thank you for this time together with Tim and your word. We thank you that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and brings us to faith and gives us a vision of what this life should be, that we should be assured that our salvation is certain, and then we need to go out and tell the story of Jesus to all those who are round about us. For our young people who are seeking, O God, today, we pray for them. And we pray for people of all ages, as from time to time, day in and day out, we stop and ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's program has brought you peace and hope. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported entirely by gifts from you, our listeners. We thank each of you for sending a financial gift to enable us to pay our radio bills each month. We also thank you for your prayers for our ministry. Both are vital for the important work of spreading the gospel message and opening hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Reverend Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.